In order to make money, we must always make entertaining movies. And if we make entertaining movies, at times we will reliably make history, art, a statement, or all three. We may even win awards. We cannot expect numerous hits, but if every film has an original and imaginative concept, then we can be confident that something will break through. But a low budget could never be its own reward. An apparently no-risk deal is never a valid reason to produce a mediocre movie, he continued. A low budget can never excuse deficiencies in the script. Not even the greatest screenwriter or actor or director can be counted on to save a film that lacks a strong underlying concept. And we should generally resist making expensive overall deals with box office stars and top directors, because we can attract them later with strong material. Eisner's memo became gospel at Paramount and circulated widely in Hollywood. It established him as something of an analytical genius in the movie business, where few of the great impresarios of the past had ever been able to articulate any kind of formula for artistic or commercial success. And he also led by example. Shortly after issuing the memo, he agreed to make terms of endearment, only if director James L. Brooks could do it for a low-budget $7 million. And when costs ran into $8 million, Brooks had to find the additional $1 million somewhere else. Eisner's intransigence led to legendary shouting matches between the two men. In the end, Eisner could easily have afforded to be more generous. The movie was a smash hit, earning over $100 million, as well as the Best Picture Oscar for 1983. But it made a lasting impression on Eisner that Brooks subsequently conceded publicly that the film was actually better for having been made on a strict budget. If a picture was a huge hit, or seemed likely to be one, others in Hollywood, Diller for example, lavished praise, relaxed the rules, and sweetened the perks, all to keep the producers and talent happy. None of this came naturally to Eisner. He was stingy with praise. When Diller offered Robert Redford a $750,000 bonus for the successful completion of Ordinary People, Redford's debut as a director, Eisner was fiercely opposed. He felt vindicated when Redford snubbed Paramount and took his next film elsewhere. When Eisner arrived at Paramount, knowing little about the movie business, producer Larry Gordon had helped tutor him. Gordon blended Southern charm with keen instincts for popular culture. The two developed into best friends. Eisner's and Gordon's sons attended school together, where they were close friends, and at Eisner's suggestion, Gordon had sent his boys to Key Waden, where he and Eisner visited them together. Their wives were also best friends, and the families lived close to each other in Beverly Hills. Eisner and Gordon also had a close and successful business relationship. Gordon had an ongoing production deal at Paramount and one of the most desirable offices on the studio lot. The relationship had yielded spectacular profits for Paramount, with the smash hit 48 Hours starring a young Eddie Murphy in his feature film debut, directed by Walter Hill and produced by Gordon. But the experience on 48 Hours, as well as earlier difficulties on The Warriors, foreshadowed future problems. 2 weeks into filming, after Eisner and Jeffrey Katzenberg saw the early footage, they met with Gordon and Hill. Both Eisner and Katzenberg insisted that Eddie Murphy isn't funny and we have to replace him. "Who in the hell do you think is funnier?"